And this is supposed to be really short and shortened to the point, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Are we supposed to have fun with it?
We can't. No fun for this one, Patches.
This is business.
Zero fun.
We laugh too much.
Welcome to Stories from the Street. I'm Brian.
And I'm Beth.
And today we interview founder and president of St. Paul Street Evangelization, Steve Dawson, along with Mark Hornbacker, and we discuss what is our why.
I am so sorry I got here late. Did you like my shirt, though? Do you see it?
I'm a blessing.
Have you ever seen this? There's a website.
Oh, really?
Can I tell you my story? Can I tell you my story? So.
You definitely can.
So I'm at the mall on Saturday. We have an hour to kill. And so I dragged Tim through the mall because that's the restaurant where we were going to meet for dinner. Tim hates the mall. Tim hates shopping. He usually breaks out into hives after about 10 minutes. But the good thing is that there is a Microsoft store.
Like he's allergic to shopping is what you're saying?
Yeah, he hates it. But the good thing is there's a Microsoft store, so that, you know, makes it okay. But anyway, so we get there, we're walking, and there's a zillion people in the mall, which is great because it's Saturday night and everyone's there spending money. And we go to buy some stuff for me. And as we're making the purchase, this guy walks by with this huge sweatshirt, this big sweatshirt. I'm a blessing. So of course,
yeah,
I'm going to say something.
Absolutely. Your
so
best
shoes. He's walking right past me. I go, you sure are. Just like, sure are. He goes, and so are you. And I'm like, thank you. And so he stops. He goes, check out the website. It turns out that this I'm a blessing thing, they feed on the streets of Detroit, they feed the homeless like on Wednesdays or something like that. And of course, Tim does that on Fridays. So they started talking about different things. And,
at the same place that does the t-shirts? Okay. Mm-hmm.
But they had that in common. He goes, well, we go at this place. And they said, we were at that place. And they know all the corners. And they all know. They know the situation. And so we had a little chat there. And of course, I said, well, you deserve a medal for doing that. And I gave him my medal and then told him about Our Lady and the crucifix and Saint Benedict. And he goes, well, you deserve a gift also. And he had a bunch of these t-shirts in his hand. And he goes, just so you know how cool God is, he says to me, just so you know how cool God is, I had to go out to my car to get the shirts for this group that I'm meeting. And I grabbed one shirt too many and it's your size.
Aww. How do you know it's your size? Like he just...
He grabbed it. He goes, and I grabbed one too many. Here it is, a woman's medium.
Wow.
He goes, God figured that out. God knew that I was going to see you. He goes, just so you know how cool God is.
That's pretty cool.
So we prayed together and it was just beautiful. It was just beautiful.
That is.
So I'm a blessing.
You've never worn that shirt before, but you're like, you know what? This morning we're doing morning prayer. This
just
happened.
This just happened yesterday. Saturday.
This is Saturday. This is this past Saturday. I'm thinking
this is my weekend. Saturday. This is my weekend gift.
Wow.
So I'm a blessing.
I think it was like that's like the colliding of two people who like love Jesus and like, even talking to him about him in public meet.
It's so fun. It's so fun. You never know. And there are so many people that that love Jesus, but don't necessarily wear an I'm a blessing or give out medals. And you don't know when you're going to meet them. And it's so fun because it's by there's something about just being that little bit of boldness to step out and say something, mm-hmm. You know, and then it becomes a beautiful encounter. It takes a little discernment. You can't just say something to everybody. You kind of have to, the Lord kind of shows you.
It's, you know what? So this past weekend, like I did do some Uber driving and there was one guy who got in my car and I was taking, he told me that like the night before his car got broken into and he had a meeting on like Saturday morning or something like that. And so I went and picked him up from like this office building. I had to take him home. It was about a 15-minute drive. And he started asking me what brought me to Indianapolis. And I told him that I normally don't go just jump right into, like, I was a missionary for Focus. I was like, oh, you know, I started doing campus ministry in IUPUI, like ooey pooey. And I always joke around about like how I never imagined in a million years that when I signed up, you know, being born and raised in Atlanta, that I was going to go to ooey pooey, you know, for my first job.
What's ooey pooey?
Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis. So people from Indianapolis, and especially people at the school, normally call it IUPUI, but it's also fun to just say ooey pooey.
That's more fun to say.
It's more fun to say. Especially
is it Indiana or is it Purdue? Is it both?
It's both. Yeah. So you can, it's, you don't get a degree from ooey pooey. You get a degree either from IU or Purdue. Like you, both tracks are available at that campus. It's really cool. Like the fact that they,
we digress. We can get back
I started talking to him for a little bit and he like, I don't know, like, I guess I never made the jump to just being like, to start just immediately talking about like the faith of like, you know what, like I have a miraculous medal here. Like I did have some miraculous medals. Like I want to offer this to you. Like I just wasn't sure. I didn't feel exactly prompted like to begin that conversation. Normally it's like a little more natural. He didn't really take any bait when I started telling him I was in campus ministry. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden at the very end, we only have a couple minutes left in the drive. And he's like, you know what? I just need to tell you something. I'm like, what is it? And he was just like, you know what? We're all sinners. And the only way, you know, that we're going to be saved is, you know, through, by like, allowing like Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and allowing that like to be like the centerfold of our lives. And it's like, thank you.
So he witnessed to you.
He was just like, I don't know if he was just like, I mean, because I also do have like some pretty Catholic things in my car too. Like I have a prayer to Saint Joseph like on my dashboard, and then I also have like a cross, and he probably didn't see the miraculous medals. I keep them there next to me, but I was wondering, it's like this guy, like, I just want to make sure that he's, I don't want to leave this car without a chance of letting him know that, you know, that we need to put Jesus at the center of our lives. And I was like, oh man, like,
it's so great.
And then I had to drop him off. It was great.
But wait,
and
think
so
about
it's just like, it was just, it, but like, I'm like, man, like I, you know, just blew like the 10 minutes I had with him doing small talk about, it wasn't bad. Like he told me about how his car got broken into and how unfortunate that was. And we started talking about some other things.
Well, I wonder a couple things. First, I wonder if the fact that you threw out a little bit of bait, mm-hmm, was he was working up the courage to actually say this. Like maybe this, you were the first one he ever witnessed to. And you made yourself available and you made yourself not too scary because you did a couple, you mentioned a few God things there. And maybe it took him all that time to be able to proclaim it to you. It could have been. Like he could be a newbie and it's like this was the first time and it took that much time. So maybe that's how I...
You know, it was interesting being on the other side of it because you just listen to these Christian terms of like what he's saying. And like, I'm just imagining myself, like I fully understand what he means, especially after being in seminary and studying, like what is sin? And like, what is it that...
I think that it's very interesting that he didn't do all the buildup.
No,
he didn't say, went right into it. Jesus loves you. He went right into like, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, right? He went right into that. The important thing is knowing how much you need Jesus. You know, we are sinners and we need him. Right to the chase. I think that's also very interesting because that's the heart of it. That's what brings on conversion.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we were talking about. Like he just dove right in about like, that's it. Like he said, we're sinners and we can't merit this relationship with God, like on our own. And that we need to be able to accept Jesus's, you know, death on the cross and place him at the center of life if we want to have life with Jesus in heaven.
Did he say you have to change your life? Did he mention that or just put him at the center?
No. And maybe I'm also putting the words in the mouth of saying even put him at the center, but it was like he would just really emphasize the fact that we're sinners and we need Jesus. And that it's like, and I think I remember him saying something clearly about like it being undeserved. And
that's so good.
Yeah.
We can learn from that. I think that's important. Sometimes people are afraid to take that step You know, it's like Jesus loves you. Like when I was talking to my fellow, I was like, well, Jesus loves you. You're doing a great job. But I didn't say, and he's our savior and we need to make sure we recognize that. And we are undeserving. And, you know, I didn't make the ask. I didn't go that far. Of course, I knew I was talking to a Christian. But still.
That's true. Right. And like, I guess maybe he also might have recognized that. But no matter who I'm talking to, when normally in my Uber rides, if it's not like everyone who gets in my car, like I'm immediately just going to have this huge faith-based conversation. Normally I'm just like, all right, God, like take it where you want it to go. If it naturally happens, if people ask me like, hey, what do you do live for a living? Or how did you get here in Indianapolis? And I start telling them about me being a missionary focus or how I was in seminary or now I work for St. Paul Street Evangelization. Like a lot of times it just happens very naturally. And we kind of get into the conversation. So I allow God to just like kind of make that happen instead of me forcing it upon everybody.
But that is enough about me. Let's go ahead and bring Steve and Mark on the line to discuss more about St. Paul Street Evangelization, what we do, why we exist, and where we see ourselves going in the future.
Steve and Mark, it's so great to be able to have you on here on our very first podcast for St. Paul Street Evangelization, Stories from the Street. And Steve, our president of St. Paul Street Evangelization, Mark, our theology chair/heresy checker. It's great great to have you on to make sure that we don't say any heresy in our very first podcast. But for anyone who's first getting introduced to St. Paul Street Evangelization, Steve, I wanted to give you the opportunity to just maybe introduce, if someone asked you just point blank, what is St. Paul Street Evangelization, how would you answer that?
Yeah, so thanks for having me, Brian and Beth, and this is awesome that you guys are doing a podcast, something that I think will bear much fruit with our teams for sure. So yeah, so St. Paul Street Evangelization, we began, and I think now it's been about 6 years, in response to the call of the church and our Holy Fathers for a new evangelization. It's clear that our culture is in big trouble, and we have all these issues in our culture, but they all stem from one main issue, which is that our people have turned their backs on God, which is what the new evangelization is, right? The new evangelization is the re-evangelization of peoples and cultures that were once Christian, but have turned their backs on God or have abandoned their Christianity. So In my opinion, our culture is very rapidly running from God instead of running into God's arms, and we're seeing all sorts of symptoms of that, from, you know, division in so many different areas of culture, violence from abortion to just, you know, school shootings and all these different things. We have economic problems, which stem from greed and a lack of morality and finance, and the list goes on and on and on. So these are all symptoms of really a culture that has turned its back on God. And today, so I felt called to respond to the call of the new evangelization just by evangelizing. So we started St. Paul Street Evangelization in response to that call. And we've spread, you know, in the past 6 years, we started as one little, just a few of us going out onto the streets, evangelizing to, you know, having now hundreds of teams of evangelists throughout the country.
And Steve, the one thing that comes to my mind, and you mentioned, you know, our culture turning its back on the Lord and you getting out there on the streets, how much have you found just simply extending an invitation for those to come back to the Lord is received?
Yeah. I mean, look, when I first started doing street evangelization or getting out there in public and sharing my faith with people, I really thought that it would be primarily an exercise in apologetics, like debate, using persuasive arguments to convince people that, you know, all they really needed to do was to know God and love Him and that their lives would be happier. And so I really went into every conversation trying to convince and persuade. through arguments and, you know, oh, you don't believe in God. Let me give you five proofs for the existence of God. Or, oh, you're not Catholic. You're Baptist. Let me tell you why we don't actually worship Mary. You know, I would just assume that people had all these like, you know, questions and I was going to answer all the questions. But what I really found out is one of the great things that I found out is people, you know, they would say, you know, I've been thinking about coming back to church and I know God put you here. So, you know, we just had to kind of respond to the graces that God had planted in hearts and put in people who confronted us.
I mean, I guess I always wonder when you just, our culture as a whole, the philosophy in itself, it's not like just growing up in America, you're just going to automatically become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I think it's almost rare that someone be able to find a disciple in their life that is truly living out this call to come to know, love, and serve God in this life. And I just, one of the things that I always beg the question is how many people are consciously turning their backs on God and how many people just simply haven't received an invitation to be able to come to know him and to love him. And I think that's one of the things that it seems like St. Paul Street Evangelization is doing, is we're out there and we're at least extending invitations in a culture where there might not be any. And coming to that is, you know, I guess here I am as a millennial, and one of our favorite things as a millennial to always ask is why. So we know it's very much like in our name right now, at least as you started St. Paul Street Evangelization. A lot of times people hear street evangelization and it talks about what we do, but it doesn't talk about exactly why we do it. So if you had to give if somebody asked you, why does St. Paul Street Evangelization exist, what would you say?
Yeah, well, we exist to evangelize, right? And so the word evangelization really just means the proclamation of the gospel, the good news. And what is the good news? The good news is simply that Jesus Christ became man, God becomes man, to restore fallen man, sinful fallen man who's separated himself from God, to restore us to relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So evangelization is the proclamation of the good news of salvation mm-hmm. in Jesus Christ. So I got the Catechism of the Catholic Church sitting in front of me. In the very first segment of the Catechism, it gives three different scripture verses in the prologue. And so the entire Catechism begins like this. It starts from John 17, where it says, "Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Goes on to say, "God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus." So the Catechism of the Catholic Church starts from Scripture with themes of salvation, of eternal life, that God desires men to be saved, to come into relationship with them. And evangelization is simply working with God to bring people back into relationship with him. So the why is the reason why that we exist is the same reason why the church exists. The church exists for the salvation of souls. And secondarily, that leads unto salvation of souls, leads to relationship with God, which leads to all sorts of blessings upon culture and society, personal blessings such as happiness and joy and peace. Broken families can be restored. Cultures can be restored. So we do it first and foremost for the salvation of individual souls. And then secondarily, we do it for the salvation of people's lives, temporal benefits for their own lives, for their happiness in this life and for our cultures. But But at the end of the day, you know, cultures, societies come and go, but lives, individual human lives are eternal. And so that is, that's what it's all about, you know. And yeah. And then finally, one last thing. We do it because our own, so we do it for the salvation of other people's souls, right? But we do it for our own salvation. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, going back to the Catechism, in paragraph 1816 says that for the disciple bearing witness to the faith, evangelization is necessary for salvation. And which makes sense, because if we really believe that we have the key to eternal life, the key to eternal salvation, and we keep it to ourselves, and we don't share it with the world, then we've committed a grave offense against God. So we do it for the salvation of others. We do it for our own salvation. We do it for the salvation of our culture.
How much of it was of that was a motivation for you to begin this apostolate, and just knowing that this teaching that our salvation actually depends upon us evangelizing, us sharing the good news, us sharing Christ to others. Was that at all one of the things that propelled you to begin this apostolate?
Yeah. I mean, look, after my conversion, as I learned the faith and studied the faith and came into kind of a agreement with what the church taught on salvation in Jesus Christ, on what the church taught about the church and God's will that men be united to her. As I learned these things, it became clear to me that I had an ability to share this, but a responsibility to share this. So I really struggled though with what that actually looked like. How do I share my faith with other people? How do I share my faith with my coworkers, my family members, and those that I encountered in daily life? And, you know, I tried to do that, but I knew that God was calling me to something more. So St. Paul Street Evangelization definitely sprang out of a great, not only a desire to share the love and truth of Jesus Christ with the world, but also out of a real responsibility for what, to whom much is given, much will be asked, you know. And I've been given so much, I have a responsibility, and we all do. We have a responsibility, and that's why the church teaches, you know, that evangelization is a grave duty for all disciples.
I'm looking at Beth right now, and she looks like she has a lot of questions to ask Steve. She's just writing everything down. Beth, what is it that you want to ask Steve?
I just think of our evangelists. They're out on the street, and how it looks to do this, to share for the salvation of souls, to share our faith and to invite people in. I'm just curious if you had some tips that you could give our evangelists.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, the end or the end goal of every encounter that we meet, every person that we meet out on the streets, I mean, what our goal is to bring them into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ in his church. However, you know, we have to do this prudently. I mean, you run into somebody out on the streets and they're an atheist. And what are we going to do? Are we going to say, you know, in order for you to be saved, you need to become a Catholic right now? I mean, they're going to reject that right away. So we have to first of all, it's so important to be rooted in prayer, to be listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in each and every conversation. And then one of the things that we really encourage our teams to do is just not try to do too much in any individual 5-minute conversation. You know, if you might have a half hour, an hour with a person, so you can cover a lot of ground in that amount of time. But, you know, you got to start from, you know, if a person is at point A, you know, you got to try to walk with them to point B. So for example, if somebody doesn't believe in God, you know, I might want to just spend some time giving them my own personal testimony why I choose to believe in God. And I might not mention Jesus or the Catholic Church in this conversation. Now, I might and I should try to get there with the person, but if I only have one thing to say, I'm going to give them a reason why I choose to believe in God. Now, if they believe in God and they're not a Christian, I'm going to try to give them a reason why I choose to be a Christian. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I live for him, and et cetera. So we walk with people one step at a time. And I think, you know, as we do this with more and more people, we get comfortable and we get good at reading people. And so that's where experience comes in. But, you know, I just really encourage people, you know, to just kind of put themselves out there and to go for it, you know.
I think that's so important what you just said, that we grow as evangelists. The more experience we have, the better we can read people, the better we hear the Holy Spirit prompting us. And if you're a beginner evangelist, you maybe you're just, you know, smiling at people and giving out a card because it's your first time out. But as you're out there more and you gain confidence and you recognize the Holy Spirit working in and through you, then you can be bolder. But I've noticed that as you evangelize, you get better at it, you get bolder. Mm-hmm. And you just recognize when the Holy Spirit's there working with you. And when you haven't, sometimes I've gone out and I didn't pray first, or it was just tasks that I was doing. And it's a huge difference.
A story that comes to mind was I was really blessed last October to go to Austin, Texas with Steve. And even it was a Tuesday night and there's still a lot going on downtown, and we run into a ventriloquist that's trying to make a living just being there on the street. And he is asking all these questions about the God, and he specifically asked about the Trinity. And Steve, definitely nothing that came from like training, and he said it was nothing he's ever done before. We just start huddling up, the three of us. And he starts giving this analogy of like the Trinity of three being one, and we're all just sitting there in a huddle. And then this guy, and okay, so Mark might come on with a heresy check here.
Yeah.
But obviously,
Trinitarian analogy
is going to be very imperfect. But this guy was loving it. And we end up talking to him for hours, and he ends up, Steve even has a video of it, of him talking about everything he learned through this ventriloquist, like his little Muppet that he had of himself. And he started giving the kerygma on the streets to the people who are walking by, just about proclaiming who God is and that what he learned about the Trinity and what it meant for Jesus to be sent into the world. And it was just so funny. Just
awesome.
Isn't that ridiculous? Like, that's not something you can just come up with. Like, that's not like an answer, you know, response of apologetics. Like, that was just, so yeah, Steve and I were just like, hey, we want to go. We weren't even, I mean, we knew that we would probably be having conversations about the faith, but this was not even like an intentional evangelization outing. We were just down, and we went to downtown Austin. We stayed within this one square block for the 3 hours we were there talking to this ventriloquist. And then Steve actually also ended up getting to other conversations, obviously, because he's Steve Dawson and he's just talking to everybody about the faith. And I want to go tour Austin. So selfishly, I'm just walking around like, I want to get the most out of Austin. Steve's evangelizing everybody. And I mean, it was a great night. And it was just a lot of fun to see Steve in action. You know, when you just talk about what does this look like lived out, it's just someone who loves the Lord and is just willing to, you know, just be inspired wherever they are. It was really cool.
The ventriloquist was fun.
Wasn't that fun? Yeah. Yeah, Steve, did you want to add anything to that story?
No, I mean, you know, it is true. I mean, Pope Paul VI's document, Evangelii Nuntiandi, Evangelization in the Modern World, it has a beautiful section in it about how, you know, first of all, the Holy Spirit is really the principal agent of evangelization. He is the one working through the evangelist. I mean, it even says in there that the Holy Spirit will give, oftentimes give words to the evangelist that that didn't come from within him. So I do believe that that experience with the ventriloquist was one of those situations where, you know, what came out of my mouth was not, God uses the knowledge of the evangelist to build from that, but I wouldn't have said it in those words. And I knew it was definitely. Now, also Paul the VI makes the point that not only is the Holy Spirit the principal agent of evangelization working through the evangelist, but also at the same time, he's working in the heart of the person who is being evangelized. So you got the Holy Spirit active on both ends through the evangelizer and in the evangelized. So, you know, we just have to put ourselves out there and allow ourselves to be used by the Holy Spirit, because, you know, God is omnipotent, he's all powerful, he could convert the entire world with a snap of his fingers, you know, and just infuse all the knowledge of the faith into every single person, but he chooses to use us as instruments of the message of the gospel for the salvation of the soul. So and because he chooses to use us in that way, although he does sometimes work outside of that and supernaturally convert people through no evangelist. I mean, you know, you have the story of Saint Alphonsus Alphonse Ratisbonne. You know, Our Lady appeared to him and infused the knowledge of the Catholic faith into his soul. So in a 2-minute, you know, apparition or vision, he went from being an atheist to a convicted believer. But okay, so that's that happens, and it can happen. However, God usually chooses to use us, fallible instruments, for the presentation of his saving gospel.
And I mean, Steve, so we haven't even really broken down everything that happens within St. Paul's Street Evangelization. So, I mean, one of the things, this got started with you just around, I believe, 6 years ago now, hitting up the streets of Portland or Oregon and one of their farmers markets and just being willing to be present, hand out rosary and miraculous medals, and people started coming back to the faith. And through this grassroots, endeavor of you posting, you know, this actually working, people being open to conversation, people converting because of your presence in the streets, we now have over 300 teams around the world. And I know this podcast is mainly for our team leaders who know our story, but just for those who didn't, that's essentially it. It's just equipping those people like around the world who feel called to go into the community and share our faith in very non-confrontational, loving ways, just as you mentioned, full of the Holy Spirit, willing to invite others to come back for their salvation. We've come into a little bit more than that, you know, like that's how it started, and people wanted to start, you know, mimicking what you were doing on the streets and that extending that invitation to those in our culture who might not have an invitation otherwise. But there's a lot more going on in St. Paul Street Evangelization, so I wanted you to have just be able to have the opportunity to speak about that and where St. Paul's Street Evangelization is going in the future.
Sure. So basically we started as primarily a street evangelization apostolate, training and equipping Catholics to do the work of evangelization in a public way. And as we developed, you know, over the years, we recognized that, that the tools and the training, that we use and that is effective out on the streets is also effective in a variety of different circumstances in people's lives. I mean, for example, we train people in what is the gospel? What is the kerygma? How do you proclaim it to people? We train people in how to pray for people. We train people and we use our own personal testimony out on the streets and so many other tools that we use. How do we start conversations with random people? You know, so all of these things are good and they're useful out on the streets with random people, but they can also be used in one's daily life. You know, how do I evangelize my brother-in-law? You know, how do I evangelize Sally at work who, you know, is going through a tough time? And so as we grew and as we really developed our training resources, it became clear to us that God was actually calling us to expand our reach. We know that all Catholics are called to evangelize. Not necessarily all of us are called to be out on the street as evangelists. We think a lot of people, Catholics, are a lot more than who are actually doing it. But we see ourselves now as being a resource that all Catholics can plug into. And so to that end, we are founding a school of evangelization, the St. Paul School of Evangelization. It'll be it'll take our current training courses that are online and expand those. We'll have more detailed and professional training in evangelization, and then expanded to different areas, also catechesis and scripture and different things like that. So look for our School of Evangelization that'll be starting probably in the fall. It'll be online, but we'll also have a live component. So we'll have actual classes that can be that people can come to in Detroit, in the Detroit area. And that's in addition to the different things that we're doing, live conferences, etc. We're also founding a religious order, the St. Paul Society of Evangelists, where we'll have lay membership. You know, like I will be a lay member of the society, but we're beginning with a men's community. So we have several guys that will be starting the community in the Archdiocese of Detroit, and they've given their entire lives to the work of evangelization. Wow. And finally, you know, we have St. Paul Street Evangelization, which does the work of public evangelization out on the street. Now, another change that's coming is that the St. Paul Street Evangelization, the St. Paul Society of Evangelization, and the St. Paul School of Evangelization will all be under the one roof, or the umbrella organization, which we are going to call the St. Paul Evangelization Institute. The St. Paul Evangelization Institute. So these are changes that we're going to make over the next several months. And so we're going to have some different looks and some different, but the focus is going to be the same, you know, for the conversion of the entire world to Jesus Christ and his mm-hmm. church.
Amen. I think we could probably do a podcast on every single one of those categories that you mentioned. I already have, I'm just thinking of so many questions that could come with the just beginning a religious order. And I'm sure we're going to have to do something on that in the future, because a lot of questions about how people around the country can be involved. What is it really going to entail? Are there going to be priests and sisters? You know, is this something that could be mimicked, and it's beginning in Detroit, but are there going to be communities established across the world? And how is it that we can plug in these classes? So I'm sure we're going to have, you know, just a lot of discussion about, you know, how others around the world can be involved in these new ways that are coming with St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's really exciting. And one of the things that I also want to give you a chance is, we already have a resource if people want to learn more about your story and the story of St. Paul Street Evangelization, how it got started. I mean, there was a book that was recently published a few years ago, right?
Ignatius Press, Stories from the Street. Actually, it's called Catholic Street Evangelization, Stories of Conversion and Witness. So it's available on our website or on Amazon.
Yeah, definitely encourage. And your entire testimony and how you began, and even how you were not a saint growing up as a child, is all kind of in there. It's just, well, I mean, just, yeah, just hearing your story of conversion, Steve, is just it's actually a lot of fun. It's a very fun conversion story to read about and listen to. But that is all the time that we have here today for this podcast. Was there anything else that you felt like you wanted to say, Steve or Mark, just you know, as we began this podcast, sharing the stories and the fruits that are happening from this apostolate that you began?
Well, I'll just say that I'm sad that I didn't leave time for Mark. Mark, you got to give some closing thoughts. Give your closing thoughts. Because Mark is my right-hand man. He's our director of theology, and Mark and I work closely together. We We're solving all the problems of the world together here at the national headquarters. So, Mark, any final thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. I don't know why I'm on as the theology fact checker or whatever right now, because you don't need it. So,
Mark, are you talking yourself out of a job?
What?
Are you talking yourself out of a job?
Oh, no, by no means. By no means. No, but I just one thing that I was thinking of as this conversation was going on. Steve mentioned something about, being docile to the Holy Spirit when you evangelize. And I think what came up to my mind is another aspect of that is just immersing yourself in the sacred scriptures, you know, because the sacred scriptures are the word of God, right? And they reveal to us the gracious intentions of God, the Holy Spirit, you know, in the world, like what his salvation means, right? And where he's going, you know, what his intentions for us in the world, into eternal life are. And so, that's another way that we sort of prepare ourselves to be docile to the Holy Spirit when we evangelize by going to those places, that going to his word and sort of putting ourselves under his tutelage, you know? I think like the saints in the early church, like Saint Augustine and so many other, the saints, they memorized the scriptures up and down, you know, backwards and forwards. They had things memorized. It became part of them, part of their heart, part of their mind. And so when they would share the gospel with others, it was just biblical, you know? And I think that's a really huge key about, you know, sharing the gospel and the Holy Spirit. So
Agree. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. And it's fun. I don't know why the Bible verse, "You stupid Galatians," just popped in my head by St. Paul. That's like one of my favorite Bible verses. Just like,
which one?
You,
you stupid Galatians.
You stupid Galatians.
Oh.
That's not inspiring at all. Like, why didn't the Lord put like a more inspiring one? But when you're saying you need to immerse yourself in scripture, it's like
that's sometimes a funny line. What somebody you're talking to needs, right?
Right. Yeah, that one's going to be perfect on the streets. I use it all the time. not Philippians talking about hope or Jeremiah talking about God's plans for us, but
all of it.
You know,
you know, sometimes all someone needs is that little bit of a reality check, and that's precisely what they need, you know. I wouldn't presume it, but you know,
no, it's just the Bible's very real. It's a lot of really good to get into, but absolutely, and hopefully our school evangelization will actually be able to help those who want to study and get into it more. And I know you're going to be a big part of that, Mark, of helping get that started. So excited to see that coming in the future. And I guess, Beth, do you have any last closing thoughts before?
I think it's so exciting, all the new things going on. And I think the other thing about all of this is that it's something that has grown up organically. It wasn't something that was thought out like, okay, how are we going to attack this? It was more like, you know, because what we've seen and what we've learned on the street, what we've learned from our other team leaders, what comes back to us, it's like this is more of a response to all of that than, you know, something we want to push out to other people. It's needed. It's so needed and necessary. And we're learning that from everybody. So I think I'm excited for all the new changes. I'm really excited. I think it's all going to be great things.
I am too.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for coming on. And I'm sure maybe we'll have to bring you guys back on and give you updates as things begin kicking off in the fall.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, absolutely. Beth. Thanks, Mark. God bless y'all.
God bless, guys. And lastly, I would like to invite anyone who hasn't been to our website yet, streetevangelization.com, to check it out. There is so much that you can do there. You can inquire about getting involved with a local chapter. You can start taking courses at our School of Evangelization to learn more about your faith and how to share it with others. You can go to our store and just check out all the great Catholic goods that we have available. One of them Steve already mentioned is our book, Sharing Our Story and Stories of Conversion. Since we began just 6 years ago, it's Catholic Street Evangelization, Stories of Conversion and Witness. That's available on our website. And lastly, just to donate and to support our apostolate and help us to be able to continue to do the work that we feel the Lord's calling us to do. And we'd be honored to have you partner with us to make that possible. But thanks again, everybody. Until next time, God bless.